every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Michael D. Ballard, the marriage pastor, and I'm going to be your guide through this crazy journey called love. So whether you are single and ready to mingle, or you are hitched and your love is in a ditch, we are about to remix your love life kingdom style. I hope you are ready to take your love to the next level. I'm excited. Let's get started. Let me go ahead and add you guys into my notes section. And listen, throw those hearts up. Throw those hearts up for any of you that are in my Faithful Hearts community. Throw those hearts up. Understand, we are standing on Genesis 1:26, which is the foundational scripture for anyone, whether you are single or married. This is the reason you exist. You were created in God's image, and you have an assignment for dominion, whether it's in your gifting, whether it's in your community. You need to understand that this is the foundation for your life. I'm excited for you, because God is about to share some amazing information. Let us get started. Oh, you know what? I want to change this view. Boom. Boom. That's what I'm talking about. You know, because Mama Ruby done made all this beautifulness. I'm going to make sure you can see it all. So let's go to our scripture. Where you at? I'm excited. Remember, turn off all your distractions. If you're watching this from a cell phone, I recommend getting on a computer or a laptop so that you can see the full notes and get the full experience. And like always, let me break down what we're going to be learning today. Remember, guys, these are divine love lessons. And so we're going to be working on the foundation of love. This is part two or model two of this series. This is lesson five. This lesson five completes all of the lessons for this particular module. Today's lesson is love and the interconnectedness of creation. The interconnectedness of creation. As always, remember, guys, to have your workbooks out. So if you haven't downloaded these already, please go to michaeldballard.com. Make sure you download your workbook. For those that are the individuals, you have your individual workbook. And for those that are facilitators, you have your facilitator workbook. Understand that there are questions in here, icebreakers. Make sure you guys are participating. Make sure you guys are taking notes. Make sure you guys are doing the assignments, because note takers will take their love level to the next level. Okay. And remember, this is how you also support the mission, this company's mission, my mission, to be able to teach what love was intended from God's point of view. Okay. So we want to, as always, we want to start with a story. This story is called Woven Threads of Community. Woven Threads of Community. Okay. Now, again, make sure you eliminate as many distractions as you can so that we can take this lesson to the next level. Again, this story is called Woven Threads of Community. Ready? Let's go. In a vibrant urban neighborhood, there lived an elderly couple, Mr. and Mrs. Thompson. They had been pillars of their community for decades, known for their wisdom, kindness, and the deep love they shared, not only with each other, but with everyone they meet. Their life together was a living example of the interconnectedness described in Romans 1 and 20, as well as in Colossians 1, 16 through 17. Mr. Thompson, a retired biology teacher, had always been fascinated by the complexity and beauty of the natural world. Mrs. Thomas, with her background in social work, had a deep understanding of human relationships and community dynamics. Together, they all spoke of how everything in creation, from the smallest organism to human beings, was interconnected and held together by love and mutual dependency, mirroring the principles in the scriptures. They organized weekly gatherings in their home where people from the neighborhood of all ages and backgrounds would come together. These gatherings was a blend of learning, sharing, and supporting one another. Mr. Thompson shared insights about nature and the environment, doing parallels to human life and nature, while Mrs. Thompson facilitated discussions on community, relationships, and caring for one another. Their home became a hub where people learned to see the interconnectedness in their lives. Young adults found mentors, young elders found companionship, and children found nurturing environments. The Thompsons' love for each other and community became a catalyst for forming strong, supportive bonds among the neighborhood residents. One significant project they embarked on was a community garden, symbolizing their belief in interconnectedness. Everyone contributed, bringing their unique skills and resources. The garden flourished, becoming a symbol of how elements could come together to create something beautiful and life-sustaining. The story of Mr. Thompson and Mrs. Thompson shows how understanding the interconnectedness of all creation, as highlighted in Romans 1 and 20 and Colossians 1, 16 through 17, how this can inspire love and unity in community. I like that. Unity in community. Their life was a testament to the belief that every part of creation is intricately linked, and recognizing and nurturing connections can lead to a more loving and cohesive love life. Amen. Understand how biology and just the way God created us and how nature works, how all of those things shows how God truly loves us and shows how we all need something from each other in order to coexist. So whether it's in a community that's outside of your home or a community inside of your home, marriage is a team sport. And you have to make sure that the people that's on your team understand that concept. The Bible says that a house divided will not stand. So God created an interconnectedness in how the world works. Jesus himself had 12 disciples. Now, do you really think that Jesus really needed 12 disciples? He didn't really need 12 disciples. But Jesus gets the partnership with us because that's a part of love, partnering with other people. We live in a world where we've missed, or we don't really understand how the partnership, and whether it's in our intimate relationships or in our jobs, in our community, in our neighborhood, we all need each other, some part of each other, to exist in this world. That is the core fabric of what love is. It's an interconnectedness that brings us all together. Nobody is better than the other person. The Bible talks about how can a hand say it has no need for the hand. I may be misquoting that, but you understand that the body itself needs each other. Have you ever gotten a scratch or a hang? No. Here you go. Have you ever gotten a hangnail? that little bitty thing that's on your nail. Do you know how painful hangnails are? If you ever hit your hangnail, you can feel the pain in your knees. How can that little bitty hangnail that you hit on your hand, you can, that thing hurt to your, it sends a shock to your whole body. That's how we need to understand and operate, whether it's in the body of Christ, whether it's in your church, what is in your small groups, whether it's in our Faithful Hearts community, whether it's in your marriage. The smallest thing that affects you, it should affect everybody. And if we operated in that connectedness, we will have more empathy for the people that are in our lives. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and 20 and Colossians 1, 16 through 17. Remember, those that are in small groups that have a facilitator, you guys can either read along or you guys can pause this and read out loud and just skip to the next part. But for the rest of us, let's go ahead and break down Romans 1 and 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. But what that scripture is saying, that even if you never read the Bible, even if you say you don't believe in God, if you just look at the world around you and around us, there is no doubt that there is a God. There is no mistaking that something had to create this world. It is too divinely inspired and connected for this to be an accident. Now, I know there's people who have theories about the Big Bang and evolution, but I'm here to tell you that this cannot be made on accident. Have you ever had an accident in your life? Was there anything beautifully made from an accident? There's no accident. My daddy once told me, he said, even if you lay with a woman, she gets pregnant, even though you're in partnership with the process, you still do not control when that woman gets pregnant. How? You just don't. You can lay with many people. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get pregnant. That is still God. God is still in that midst. Even there are no oops babies, there's no accidents, right? God is in control. Nothing gets by God. There's no surprises with God. And so when you look at how the world is, just understanding that you are not taking this class by accident, no matter how you came upon this course, it's no accident. It's no accident that we're here. It's no accident you were born in this time frame. It's no accident that you was born in that body, in that gender. You have a purpose. And God is saying, I am in control. I connect everything. Colossians 1, 16 to 17. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is love. God holds everything together through love. This is the foundation of your love life. Understanding that God is in control, understanding that God has everything held together because he loves you so much that your life is not an accident. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. God can get glory out of your life, even if you were born in circumstances that were not pleasurable. Now, God doesn't cause evil things to happen to us, but he can use evil things to get glory out of. And that may be hard for some of you to believe or hear, but it is no accident that you're here today. And for those that are going through abusive and demonic relationships, that is not God's best for you. He wants you free and delivered from those situations. For those that are dealing with turmoil and trials in your relationship, there is another way. There is another level that God wants to take you to. He is not done with you yet. There is more in store for your life. I want to break down these scriptures. Understanding that seeing the divine in each other, seeing the divine in each other, Romans 1 and 20. See, this verse speaks about qualities being evident in creation. But in the context of relationships, it suggests that recognizing that the divine nature in each other is just as powerful and important in the divine nature in creation. You need to learn how to acknowledge that God is reflected through those relationships that we have. Just the mere thought of marriage mirrors the relationship that Christ has with the church. That's the number one thing about marriage. Marriage is for the believers. Marriage is for God's children. It is a direct connection to how Christ in this church, his bride, operates. See, when you're married, it is actually preparing you for learning how to be married to Christ. This is your pre-marriage, because your real marriage is in heaven when you get to Christ. So marriage is about reflecting the love that Christ has for you, reflecting that to your spouse. The interconnectedness of all creation in Colossians 1 and 16. Even again, it highlights everything about created, but in relationships, it talks about how deeply and interconnected our actions and words and attitudes have. That's significant on the relationship. Think about that. Your words, your actions, everything that you are saying and doing in your relationship is interconnected with the larger scheme of how you want to be able to nurture and care for your mate. Unity and diversity. I love this one. This is unity and diversity. Again, how everything is so unique and diverse in creation. Understand that there is beauty and strength that comes from the diversity within your spouse, within your partner. You didn't marry yourself. You know, I know we think we live life from the perspective of our eyes and our experience. And sometimes it's hard to separate ourselves from what we are experiencing. And sometimes we think when we get with somebody that they do things weird, or you always say things like, I wouldn't have done it that way. Of course you wouldn't have done it that way, because if you would have done it that way, you would have done it. But if that other person is doing it, and it may not be to your liking or to your standard, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's different. We need to learn how to celebrate the differences in our spouse instead of ridiculing them and pointing out the things that they've done wrong. Sometimes, I remember this, God told me, you know, Michael, you may be wrong. Have you ever felt like you were so right about something and you later, it turned out to be wrong, or you later, it later turned out that even though you could, like my wife always says, two truths can exist at the same time. Two truths can exist at the same time, meaning, yeah, your way may be right, but that person's way may be right also. See, the number six to you is, when you look at the number six, to you is a six. But if someone else is looking at it from the other perspective, it's also a number nine. Two truths can exist at the same time. So learning how to be open to the diversity of your spouse will give way to a lot of conflict and clashing that you have. So learn to appreciate the diversity of your spouse. That's what creates a healthy, holistic bond in marriage. Fourth part, sustaining relationships. Just like God is the force that holds everything together, God is the force that holds your marriage together. You cannot be married without God. It is his product. It is for him. It is by him. You ever heard back in the day, there was a clothing line called FUBU, for us, by us. Love is for God, by God. So don't enter into a relationship with a person who is totally diverse and different than you and think that you can sustain it without love, the foundation of love. And I'm not talking about the romantic, the touchy-feely love that society and Hollywood has tricked us to believe that that's the core of love. No, God is the core of love. He is the sustainer of all relationships. And there are some people that are trying to sustain relationships that God is saying, no, this is not the very best for you. And lastly, responsibility to each other's, which is what Romans 1 and 20 is alluding to, even though this is implies responsibility and acknowledgement of the evidence of God's character. In relationships, there's a responsibility to recognize and respond to the needs and feelings and the well-being in a nurturing manner. If you want to show care and support to other people, there is a responsibility to respond to the needs and feelings of someone else. For you to brush off someone else's feelings and needs just because you don't understand them, just because you don't relate to them, just because you're not feeling that way, it is not showing the nature of God. Imagine if God says, well, your problems ain't my problems. Your issues ain't my issues, so it's not important to me. This is why, again, marriage is for believers. It is a direct reflection of how Christ treats us, played out in our day-to-day lives within our marriage. You have to operate with Christ's love and the understanding of what marriage is if you want marriage to last a lifetime. So in summary, understanding that while the scriptures provide a framework for understanding relationships in the context of a larger interconnected creation, it encourages us to see the God in each and every one of us. It's about appreciating diversity within unity, actively working to sustain relationships, and acknowledging our mutual responsibilities toward each other. Love is in creation to give us a blueprint and an example to just say this. Just like you can see love in creation, just like you can see God's love for us in creation, you should be able to see God's love in your relationships. And just like other people can see how God is just by observing the creation around us, when people see your marriage, do they see God? Can people see your marriage and say, they must love God because something is different about that love? While everybody else in your house and your building is fighting and arguing and bickering, when they see your love, when they see how you interact with each other, are they seeing God's love in the creation of your marriage? Just like they can see God's love in the creation of the world, can they see God's love in the creation of the marriage that he put together? And I hear you, Holy Spirit. That's why it's important to let God heal your marriage, because there are some marriages that God is not a part of. And you know who I'm talking about. If it's hitting you in your spirit, just because you said I do, don't mean God was saying I do. Remember, there are five types of relationships that we manifest in the body of Christ. God's will, which I call the power couples. These are the ones that he specifically put together for a particular purpose. Then there's free will. Free will are those that he says, okay, these are the parameters. This is what you can date. This is who you should be with. It's all through scripture. He gave rules of, okay, you can pick who you want out of this group. That's free will. I call that the free will one flesh marriages. Those are the ones where you learn to become one with that person, right? Then there's what I like to call the sacrificial marriages. Those are the ones that God put together, but that don't fit what you normally would want to be with. It's going to be a sacrifice for you because you may have wanted 6 feet, six pack, six figures. He may gave you 5'4". Making $54,000 a year working at Burger King, which nothing wrong with working at Burger King. I'm saying you may have wanted a corporate person, but you got somebody who the manager, because it's a sacrifice for what you want, but it has a bigger purpose. Same for the young lady. You may date someone who has kids and you probably say, I would never want to be with anybody with children. Now this is a sacrifice for me to be, but if God is calling you into that, and remember, God has to call you into that. Those are what I call sacrificial marriages. Then the other two is what we normally find ourselves in. I call it sin situationships. These are relationships that go, you went outside of the will of God and got who you want, and then you try to tell God to bless it. God is like, that's on you. You went out and got that person. You didn't ask me. They don't even fit. They are unequally yoked. They don't even believe what you believe. Those are sin situationships. When the Bible says, let no man put asunder what God has brought together, that means there are some relationships God brought together and some that you brought together. So you need to see guidance on what the next step is. That's the fourth one. And the fifth one is the one I like to call the forbidden marriages, forbidden relationship. That's that Ahab and Jezebel. That's when you are a child of God and that's the child of the devil. And that relationship is going to send you straight to hell. That relationship turns your heart away from God. All the other four will turn your heart toward God, but that's the one that turns your heart away from God. Those are forbidden. God says those are the ones you got to get away from. Period. So understand, that's why it's important, because God wants to mirror his love for you and how you mirror it in your relationship with your spouse. And it is an example for everybody to see. Marriage is a God's product. It is the creation. Just like the creation of the world, the creation of marriage is for God. Again, this has been your boy, Michael D. Ballard, the marriage pastor. It has been my pleasure to teach you and walk with you on this particular class. This is the completes this module, module of love and creation, which is module 2 of the Foundation of Love series. I hope you enjoyed it. If you don't take any more of these models, I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got something out of it. Remember, your workbook has something that you can use for two more days or for a weekend, depending on if you did this, if you followed this series per day. If not, of course, you can still take the other bonus courses in your workbooks. Remember, so always, if you can, please go download your Return on Love assessment. It is free. It will help you to determine if the love that you have is bringing you back the return that you're putting in. I'm excited about this tool. It has blessed a lot of people, and you can find it on my website, michaeldballard.com. Remember, share this post, share this video with all of those who they need to go to the next level in their love life. And until again, until we meet next time, remember, love intentionally. Okay. Love on purpose, and love with your eyes open, and be protected with your love. Because God is giving you an opportunity right now to love. There is no marriage in heaven. You'll be like the angels. So experience it now. in this life while you can. This is your boy, Michael D. Ballard, the marriage pastor. Hearts up to my Faithful Hearts community members. I will see you in the next class.